Hey guys, it's Jessica, founder of Noonday Collection. Welcome to the You Matter podcast. On this podcast, I want you to get ready to be inspired to be more courageous and to own your worth. Get ready to feel connected to the artisan community and to the community where you have a place of belonging, the ambassador community. Because the truth is, you matter, and I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to episode 35 of You Matter. This is Jessica Honegger, your girl boss, chatting with you. And I'm just extremely excited about today's episode. I've just been waiting for when we were going to get to launch this one. Last week, we celebrated International Women's Day, which is a day to honor the women across the globe who are working to build a world that flourishes. And what I love about Noonday is that every day is International Women's Day here, because every day we're the ones that get to advocate for and partner with all of these strong, talented women who are working in their communities to transform them and to cause them to flourish. This year at Shine, many of you got to come, and at Shine, we were able to fly in more artisan partners than ever before. We heard from Cherry and Emnet from Ethiopia. They work with a group called Alilta, and Jalia from Uganda, David from Vietnam, Anurag from India, and Anne from Kenya. And so this is always really one of my favorite times, is when we get to fly our artists and partners in to really see behind the scenes of Noonday. But it's really powerful to see them connecting with one another. I think we often think about our ambassador community as this community, but we forget that our artisans actually have a community too, and we get to be a part of that, creating that for them. The men and women are trailblazers in their communities, and they make things happen that most people would only sit and dream about. And so I got to sit down with every single one of them to be able to record a You Matter. So today's You Matter, it's a conversation between me and Jalia and Cherry. These are three female entrepreneurs from very different places around the world and who are all looking at the same horizon. Cherry and Jalia share some incredible stories about how this journey has changed them and how your work as ambassadors is bringing transformation to the women they employ. So as you hear these stories, as you are driving to your trunk shows, as you're making your asks this week, see yourself in their stories, because you are the one that's creating the opportunity that they are talking about today. Welcome to You Matter. This is Jessica, your host today, and I am sitting here with two African women, Jalia Matavu and Cherry, your last name.
Friedmeier.
Which is not an African last name. Because you're married to a German, right?
Yes, I'm German-American.
German-American. What was your previous last name?
Takatel Makiso.
That's what I'm talking about. All right. Yeah. Okay. I would love for y'all to just say a sentence in your own native language.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sanyiso kubalaba.
Sanyiso kubalaba.
Yeah.
What would you say?
I'm so happy to be with you.
Cherry, what about you?
Salam lenante. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. I love that. Amharic. Well, thank you so much for being here today. It is with such pride that I get to talk with two strong, tenacious, world-changing women. Truly, it is an honor. And what we want to do in this conversation is inspire ambassadors and also help them understand that their work matters. And first, I wanted to just get a little quick history of your business and how it came to be, because a lot of our ambassadors might not know that. So, Cherry, why don't we start with you?
Alilta Women at Risk actually has been a restoration rehabilitation program for women to be able to leave prostitution in Ethiopia and different parts of the country. So there's thousands of women trapped in prostitution with really no help, no hope of being able to leave that life without, you know, and then also the cycle going down to the children as well. So this organization has been running for 20 years, but about 4 or 5 years ago, we realized with some legislation change in the country and our financial struggle and finding jobs for the women, we realized, okay, maybe we could take advantage of the new legal structure change to start the for-profit. So that's how Elelta Products was started. So it has two specific goals. One is to offer jobs, safe working environment where women can work and earn enough money and be able to support herself and her kids. The other side of the same issue for us is also as we work in the business, as the business grows, so it turns around and supports the work of the organization, the charity, so more women are offered help, because everything that we've done through the years is through fundraising. But we thought we could actually work and be a role model to our girls by not always asking for support, but also working and earning money to run the organization.
That's awesome. It was, I think it was about 3 years ago where a friend drove me through the red light district in Addis, and that's where I really felt like God gave me a vision for like, let's empty the red light district. Mm. And I know that that's been your vision for years and years. And it's exciting when God brings together women, right?
In a way only He does.
That's right. Yeah. We really can't change the world.
No.
Jalia, I'm usually the one to share how we came to be. Why don't you share?
Should I share how African Style started?
Yes.
Well, African Style started with just me and my husband. We are artists working in our home, basically just trying to make ends meet, looking for an income, and me supporting my husband through Bible College. That time, we were just going through a very huge financial crisis. And so we created pieces of art in our home and tried to market to our friends, tried to market to some missionaries. And through our interaction and through that process, we met one lady who was a missionary, and she was very interested in our work. I remember her saying, "Charlie, are you and Daniel are very talented, but you're so broke. I'm so concerned how you can be so talented and yet so broke." And at that time, we'd move from one house to another.
She was from Texas, and Texans we shoot straight. So I love that she just said that.
So she's a blessing. I love that woman. So from there, she introduced us to Jessica. And so Jessica made some orders, very small order. It was about maybe 50 pieces of necklaces and Embira cuffs. So we made those at home, and from there, Jessica ordered some more. And so the work grew from just me and my husband working from our home. We invited the first art sons to work with us, about 13 people. That included Mama Sham, Bukenya, and Rosette. We started working from our home again. We didn't have tables, so we worked from our skirts and we worked on the floor. And there was no company, like maybe shipment plan, so we waited for a friend who was coming to America to bring stuff over to Jessica. It was really just you maybe say guessing or what,
figuring it out as yeah.
So by God's grace, Jessica and Travis founded Noonday, and the orders grew. So we moved from that first group to 40 workers. We founded a big company, founded a big workshop, employed more people. About 2015, we are employing about 106 people in our workshop and over 400 bead rollers in the community.
Wow.
So it's been a process of growing, and I and my husband learning how to do business from just being a regular artist trying to find a meal for that day to being business managers, to being designers. I've been exposed to design. I've been exposed to the market. So I can say that it's been a process. Yeah.
But I have to say, I met you at the last shrine, Jalia.
Yeah.
And then and now what I see is the friendship between the two of you. Yeah. I just love how you're like sisters of the same heart. So
yeah. I walked out this morning, Joy is sitting there making eggs for breakfast in my kitchen. And yes.
You should have heard Zoe when we came into Fort Lauderdale and we had immigration. They asked her, where are you going? What's the purpose of your visit to America? And she said, I'm coming here to see my friends, Jack and Holden and Amelie. I think she expected everywhere, like, they know.
Jack and Amelie and Holden
Jack
are,
and Holden, they're my friends. And the lady was like, you have friends in America? I said, yes, Jessica is my mama's friend. They're like sisters. You know, I'm so grateful for the sisterhood we have with Jessica. She's a true friend, a true sister.
Sometimes sisters go through hard times. Yeah. Too, so we stay sisters.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what makes you real sisters, is when you get through that and come on the other end. Mm-hmm. Sisters.
So true. So true.
Can't do that with everyone.
No. So it's profound for me because you can see on my wall there's this painting. And this is a painting that one of Jalia's friends painted. Mm-hmm. And it's a picture of a woman at a fruit stand, a typical fruit stand in Kampala.
Yeah.
And I might have shared this story with you guys that when I was 15, I went to Africa for the first time. And as you all know, the kind of suffering in Africa, the kind of poverty that's in Africa, it is different than what we see here in America. So it was quite jolting for me. And I remember walking through the slums in Nairobi, the Kibera slums, and seeing this woman running a brightly colored fruit stand.
Mm-hmm.
And my Kenyan friend explained that it was because of a microloan that she was able to start her own fruit stand business.
Yeah.
And she had been in an abusive marriage. Her husband was an alcoholic. And now she was able to stand on her two feet, and she was able to get out of that abusive marriage and support her family because of her business. And that image for me is really stayed with me forever, and I think is one of those things that God uses. I mean, he uses so many things, right? And we can look back and see like the story he was weaving, but certainly this fruit stand and this woman, this strong African woman, is what helped catapult the vision of New Day Collection. So and you have a similar story, Cherry. And we say in our ambassador manifesto, we say, when we look across the globe, we don't see strangers, we see ourselves.
Yeah.
And as ambassadors, we don't feel sorry for people, we see ourselves in people, right? We know that we could have just as well been in that situation. And so I would love, maybe Cherry, you can paint a picture of a typical Ethiopian woman, maybe one of the women that's been through your program, maybe one of the artisans that you work with. Paint that picture for us.
Well, if I think of one of the women in our business who's working with us, her story would not be typical of other ordinary women in the country, because this woman would have been in prostitution. And then for her to actually give back and be part of the community is an uphill struggle.
Okay. So give us an atypical story then.
Of just any ordinary Ethiopian?
No, give it like, paint a picture of your girls for us.
Well, I would say a typical story with the girls was born to a family in the countryside, a farming family. And then by the time she was 6, 7, 8, somebody from the urban place would come to her parents and say, she probably would have 6, 7, 8 siblings. And someone from the city would come and say, oh, I can send your child to school. She can work for me. I'll look after her. I'll be like a parent for her. And this farming family, desiring better life for their daughter, would give this 7, 8-year-old girl. But what usually happens is the isolation and the hard work, the physical hard work, and in a lot of cases, no schooling, which make the girls grow to be very hard-hearted mm-hmm. and strong. Not, I wouldn't say strong, but bitter.
Mm-hmm.
And so by, you know, they kind of grow up really confused, isolated, because they would be treated as, she would be treated as a servant in the house, mm-hmm. in all the sense of the word servant. Mm-hmm. And so she'd be working from early morning to the late at night. She's been mistreated by everybody in the family
mm-hmm.
because she's a servant. She's just a young girl
mm-hmm.
Who's just young. As long as she's got roof over her head and food in her stomach, she should be happy. She should be grateful. But an 8-year-old girl, I have a 12-year-old son, and do I have to do this? You know, do I have to clean my room? But, you know, she's expected to actually clean and look after younger kids. You know,
and run the household,
and
really.
And the household, and with earns no respect for it.
And no money.
And no money. Yeah, she has kind of hand-me-down clothes, she has food. You know, that should be enough. But then by the time they hit teenage, they start to rebel.
Mm.
They start to look for friendship somewhere outside of the house. They start to look for that love. And that's what really makes them vulnerable for prostitution, because young guys outside would be paying them attention, and there'll be other people saying, oh, you can actually earn whatever you're not earning here. You can earn it in one day. And really bad peer influence. And then the desire to be loved, the desire to be part of or close to somebody makes them look for unhealthy relationships, and slowly they get into prostitution.
Okay.
But the problem is, okay, so people, when they look at her as an adult or a late teenager in prostitution, what people see is that she made a choice.
Mm.
She's a bad woman. I don't want her to associate with my kids, with my wife, with my family, without thinking about what led her there.
Right.
And then all of us are responsible by either being quiet about it or be actively participating in that.
Mm.
Am I making you sad? I didn't mean to,
yeah.
But that's a typical story
that's
in
a
lot of the women that we work with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dahlia, what about you in Uganda?
For me, the typical story would be a little bit different, but not so different from what Cherry just shared. Most of the women that work in my workshop are single mothers that have either been in a relationship that has been broken due to husbands moving on to with other women, polygamy, or families that due to polygamy that they have been abandoned. So women with children and no husbands. So like, biggest percentage of my workshop women are these women
mm-hmm.
with struggling to make ends meet for their children and basically supporting the whole family on their own. And when I think about myself, I also grew up in the same family. My mom was that woman who did all the housework, cared for the children, paid school fees. I can tell you how she did it from morning to evening. But I grew up in that home. And when I reached university level, all my friends that I can mention, from my husband, my neighbors, all of them were fatherless. They're like, these are generation of fatherless people. And now more women with no husband. I don't know what's happening in our country, but fathers are just not there to be responsible. They're just not caring for their women. In fact, sometimes, because God has blessed me with a good marriage, sometimes I even feel, you know, like maybe, should I say shy? Maybe because I'm the only one.
That you know of that has.
Yes, that has
a
husband
marriage.
Who cares. Because everybody else around me has husbands who don't care. So the typical day of a Ugandan woman starts in the morning when she gets up and she makes the charcoal stove and makes a cup of tea, which is also hard work. The charcoal stove cannot be lit in a few seconds. It takes time to light it. And when the fire is caught fire, then you start making the tea and feed the children. Then she has to go to the garden and dig, because you do that in the morning to dig. And after that, she gets maybe potatoes, brings the potatoes back home. She comes home and then she realizes that the water is there's no water, because running water is not commonly found. It's only in the capital city and also to a few homes, expat homes. So many people have to go to the well to fetch water. Then she gets her can, puts her baby on the back, goes off to get water. And then during that time, the children are staying at home by themselves, basically taking care of themselves or wandering around the community somewhere, either in the market or somewhere, you know, like free, wandering off. When she comes back from the well, she sits down and starts peeling the potatoes. And all this is trying to get her lunch. So she peels the potatoes and starts cooking them for the... Then she realizes that the clothes are dirty. She starts washing clothes by hand, which takes a lot of energy and a lot of time. And by the time she's done with the washing of the clothes, the house is muddy and dirty because all the roads are not paved. She has to scrub the floors. And after she has done scrubbing that, there is no school fees for the children, medical emergencies, rent, and maybe some money to buy paraffin or kerosene or boxes of matches. She needs money. Then she has to go find a job. So she's doing all the housework, very hard work, with no washing machines, no dishwashers, no any help. And she's having also to find money. So what really hurts me is that somebody else has been her partner in having the children, and she has to care for all the kids and all the work herself. So she either goes to the market to sell some fruits at the fruit stand, or she will go and sell clothes, or if she's a bead roller, she'll come to African Style and pick some paper and go home and roll the beads, and the next day like that, and the next day like that. And this woman cannot rest. We have a saying in Luganda that says that a mother never gets sick. So a mother cannot get sick, because what will happen to the children? Even just one day of a mother getting sick, the children will starve. So the mother has to stay strong, and the mother has to stay alive. And the mother has to work non-stop, like at a machine, to make ends meet. So my mom worked like that. She went to the garden, even though she had trained as a nurse when my dad abandoned her, and life was very frustrating. She worked in the garden. She came home and sold her in her drugstore. She took care of 7 children plus my 2 other stepchildren that have 9 children in the home. She found money for our school fees. You know, it was not easy to take care of all of us. We needed shoes, we needed clothing, and all that was her burden. So that's a typical life of an African woman.
African woman.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you this for 2 reasons. One is to paint that picture of need. You know, I think it's so easy to be, as an American woman, to be so far removed from that. We have dishwashers and we have washing machines and we have water and all of these basic things that we can take for granted. So one reason was to paint that picture of need. And then another reason was sort of to demonstrate what tenacity is. Mm-hmm. Because when I think of these women, I think of tenacious women. And I know I've gotten to sit down and talk with some of the women you work with, Cherry, and also, of course, the African Style in Uganda. And there is just this tenacity, this that drives them. And that is the tenacity that I want our ambassadors to be able to match. You know, can we match that tenacity in our businesses, in our commitments that we make? And not every ambassador is going to be a top seller, but whatever an ambassador commits to, whether, hey, I'm going to do 6 trunk shows this month, like, it does take a certain level of commitment and tenacity and perseverance. So, Cherry, I would love for you to share now a story of tenacity. You have that. So I would love for you to even start with your story, because, you know, when I met you a few years ago, and maybe it's because Noonday was young and I knew that you had lived much more than me. And, hearing your story about wanting to meet need and wanting to create change and trying different things. And you tried this cafe and you ultimately had to shut it down, but you're still at it. Like, you were still working with women with the same vision. That was so inspiring and encouraging to me. So maybe you could share a little bit of your story, and then maybe Jalia can be thinking then of a story of tenacity from her workshop.
I think what gives me the drive, just that, you know, that I feel like I don't have any other option. I mean, I don't even look for an option. This is it. Because I see women every day with nobody bothering to give them any option. But yet, each woman has such talent and has such, you know, potential. But also, like the Ugandan woman, they are carrying their children. And they literally have to make ends meet every day. I was telling Travis this about this girl this morning in the car, and we were talking about kids and special needs kids. And we met Mante, maybe her son was about 7, 8. He couldn't walk. His life was in this little box that she would put him in.
Mm.
He couldn't walk, he couldn't speak. She says she thinks somebody dropped him and he's crippled and he's
or even cursed. Isn't that a common thought?
Yes, it's definitely a curse. So she you know, she's like, I'm cursed, and she would keep him in her house in a dark place because her house was very poor and very dark. And then whenever, if she needed to go somewhere in the daytime, she literally would just put him on her back. And she's a very tiny little girl. She's a lot shorter than me. And so when we met her, she was in prostitution trying to provide for this little child that she has. But as we met her and heard her story, and we went and saw her son, we were able to open a completely different door for them, because he was able to go through therapy. He's able to walk now. He's in a normal school now. He walks a little bit awkward, but he doesn't even use crutches anymore because, you know, we were able to help him find medical treatment. He catches up. He's on the same grade like his age, not his age, but a little bit behind. But in the class, he's the same with everybody. And the smile on his face is what keeps me going. And she just worked so hard. And she always says to us, I couldn't carry him now because he's taller than me.
Wow.
I couldn't carry him now if he wasn't able to walk.
Wow.
And then what really breaks my heart is she was doing really well with this little boy, and what she did was she actually was a paper feed roller. Okay. So she would take things home and she would do it and bring it and would buy it from her because she wanted to be close to her son and because she has to take him to school and back. She got married to this new person, and she got pregnant, and she had a second son who is a Down syndrome.
Really?
And of course the man said, you were cursed, and he left her.
Ugh.
And now she comes to us with this little one and on her back.
Wow.
He's about 3 years old now, and she thinks she's cursed because she has 2 children with special needs.
Wow.
Women like that, you have to keep working with them.
Mm.
You have to keep working. And she's not somebody who would sit and expect to be helped. She is more than ready to work for her kids.
But we need to stand with her.
Yes. Yeah. We need to provide the opportunities for her to work and earn her dignity, raise her kids. She doesn't need aid.
Mm-mm.
She needs work.
She needs work.
Yeah.
Wow. And for those of y'all listening, some of y'all might not know that Travis, Wilson, our co-CEO, he has a little boy, Jack, who has Down syndrome. And it's a passion of ours. It's even on our vision when we think about 2020 on how can we impact kids with special needs in these other countries, because there is so much stigma and not help. So
yeah.
I'm glad we can partner with her by purchasing your products. Shalia, what about you, a story of tenacity?
So many women I can share, whose stories I can share of stories of tenacity. People like Mama Jabal, who stayed in the marriage for 14 years with an abusive husband, being battered. She stayed in that marriage because she loves her children. and because she didn't have enough income to get out of the marriage, because she said that she could not afford to rent a house or take care of them, so she stayed in that marriage. And when the time came and she got a job with African Style, remember, were we talking with her when she came and said,
yes,
I thank you very much for giving me a job because now I can walk out of my marriage.
Is that
good
or not?
we're not giving you a job so you can leave your husband.
Yeah.
But we didn't know that she had been abused in this marriage for a long time. So, right now I can see a lot of transformation in her life. I can see she's happy. She's separated with her husband. She's working hard at the workshop. She has her own house now. She's rebuilt, and her kids are happier. They are growing. So, and for me, that story is when I see what the work that we have done, what it has done in other people's lives, I want to keep doing it.
Mm.
I don't want to quit because I see how that help of a job can do, what it did to my life and what it's doing in other people's lives.
Mm.
So even me, I have persevered through challenges of the business and having to learn new techniques, having to learn to be a business owner in a very short time. Nunde has grown super fast, and we had to keep up with the pace.
Mm-hmm.
And that growth in a very short time wasn't easy. Many times I would feel like quitting. Maybe I would start a smaller business instead of this whole business having to deal with 400 people, having to listen to so many women. But I don't, because I know that they need me. I see what it has done, the change that it has done, the impact in their lives. So because of that, I'm encouraged to keep going, and I'm encouraged to keep pressing on and persevere. Yeah.
Let's talk about the power of being believed in and then of believing in others. Because when I think about Travis believing in me, and saying, I'm going to live off my life savings, even though I've got three kids and one with special needs, because I believe in you. I mean, he really felt like this thing's going to rise and fall on you.
Yeah.
So that caused me to step up, right?
Yeah.
And it didn't matter if I was scared or, you know, insecure or whatever. I was going to make this thing happen.
Mm-hmm.
And Jalia, I think about recently, you went to the police station on behalf of someone.
Nakato.
Who was getting abused.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. And could you have seen yourself standing up for her six years ago, the Jolly you were 6 years ago?
Well, my kind of character would be I would want to solve a problem. But because of a culture that I've grown into, I've been made to think that you're too much. So I would be quiet even when I want to come out. So that 6 years ago, maybe I would not have come up to help in that situation. But listening to you, Jessica, has really encouraged me to believe in myself. You've encouraged me to be who I am, because I am that person, and I'm not too much. That really encouraged me, because our culture tends to put women down. And, you know, like, you're too much. You're supposed to be humble. And humility means, like, you know, like,
stay quiet.
Yeah, stay quiet.
Too much.
So,
what do you mean you're too much?
Some people feel like they're not enough. And others feel like you're too much. Like
I overwhelm you and
yeah,
I talk too much.
Yeah.
And,
you know, yeah. So for me, Nakato had been abused by her husband for a long time, and we knew about it. She would come sometime to the workshop, and she'd been beaten. So many things are happening in her life. Until one time, I was like, no, I can't just keep quiet and keep watching this. Then I said, no, this time I'm going to the police. I'm taking him in, and I want him to be, I want him to maybe be questioned or at least charged for all the battling and the offenses that he has committed. So I took Nakato with me. We went to the police, and I said to them that I have employed Nakato for this amount of years, and this she has been abused by her husband, and I don't think it's right, and I need you to act. So the police didn't help me, and I moved to another one, higher.
Mm.
I said, I'm not giving up on this until I have them, like, really question him or bring him in. So I moved higher. And again, I explained that I cannot keep quiet and wait until this woman dies. Mm. She's being abused and it's not right. So that I got help. We got a guy to come in. He was questioned, and then we found out that he'd been beating her over and over again, and so much was happening. So and he one time kidnapped the children, and there was so much. Mm. But Nakato got help. We got Daniel also came with me, and we followed the case up. They put him in for a few days.
Wow.
And then they found that another police station was actually looking for him for having done land grabbing in a different place. So he had he was a criminal.
Wow.
So the children were put in Nakato's custody, and he was told not to come back to her house or to disturb her, and, you know. So she has her peace now.
Wow.
She's renting her house, and African Style has stood with her. She got a loan and a lot of support from the people. So she
explain that just a little bit when you say African Style stood with her, because this it's so powerful. Mm. Because women, when they walk away from an abusive marriage where their husband dies and their relatives, it's called land grabbing, which International Justice Mission does work around that. We've talked about that before, but they lose everything. It's like their house is burned down. I mean, it's like literally they have nothing.
Yeah.
And so what are some examples when you say African Style really showed up for
them? Well, how usually it's done, the community of African Style, the women come together. Like for Mama Jabal, we brought things. We brought a blanket. Some people brought jerry cans and mosquito net, beddings, anything, cups, fork, anything. Mm-hmm. So we just brought whatever we could bring to help her start a home. And for Nakato, it was the same. We came together, and what can we do to help her move into a new home? We gave her towards the rent. We brought stuff.
Yeah.
If you have an extra cup, you bring it. If you have more bed sheets, you bring it. If you have an extra blanket, you bring it. So at first, Daniel and I used to champion this, but nowadays people really own it.
They own it.
They're doing it. So it's a community where people care for one another.
That's awesome that you've given that vision. Sherry, what about you when you think about a woman who has been believed in, who's gotten a job and is now believing in others and instilling that, you know, taking it beyond just herself and now investing in other people?
I think of about five women that we've met. Some of them just had babies. Some of them were pregnant when we first met them. And it was uphill, downhill, flat, valley, mountaintop experience of walking alongside them, them raising their kids, working, losing jobs, businesses, growing. And just there was a community of girls just loving one another and supporting. And a year ago, all those daughters, there was five of them, finished high school at the same time. And they all passed their national exams and they all went to universities.
Wow.
And that is, for me, that was such a joyful thing to see, that a generational impact, that the moms worked so hard to raise these girls. They worked so hard to make sure that the cycle doesn't get passed on. But during that time, one of the moms had, just like a few months before that, she had a heart attack and passed away. So her daughter kind of became my responsibility, but she became the responsibility of all the community. So they talked to her, took her out for meals, and they were her community. They were her aunties who were there with her, and she's in her second year of university, and the other four others are as well.
Wow. We call that sistering.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Sistering each other.
Yeah. And the girls have so many moms. They're always in trouble with one of them.
Wonderful.
If they're not, you know. And the kids themselves are very close friends.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So paint us a picture you know, what Noonday's been able to build and together in Uganda over the past almost 7 years now, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And then in Ethiopia, you know, we've been able to create a jewelry, your first jewelry program over the last 3 years.
But yeah, just two and a half years.
Okay. Describe a little bit of the impact that we have had, and then paint a picture for our ambassadors. You know, I picture them driving to a trunk show maybe right now and listening to this, and they just kiss their kids goodbye, and they're bummed that they can't be to tuck them in at night, or maybe they're listening to this while they're doing the dishes, and they just asked someone to host a trunk show for the third time, and that person said no.
Yeah.
What can we do to paint that picture of let's be tenacious, and let's it's worth it, because these women matter. We don't see strangers, we see ourselves. Cherry, you want to share?
Yeah, what our partnership with Noonday has done for Elita Products is it has more than tripled our work.
Wow.
Our order, which means it has tripled the income of the girls.
Hmm.
Each woman that's working on jewelry, she has a set monthly salary, but also per order, it depends on how many she's able to produce, or if she wants to do more hours, they can earn more income, which means they have a little bit more leeway in the way they raise their children or what rent they would have. So it's been just amazing to see the joy to walk into the workshop. Now is a much different feeling.
Wow.
From 2 years ago, because they're happier.
Mm.
They worry less about what they're going to feed their kids tonight. Mm. They certainly worried less about their expenditures. And then what we really try to instill is, you know, our country went through a communist regime for 20 years, and we're still trying to get rid of that communism influence. And I mean, it's going to take another 20 years or more. It has been 20 years, and we still are working through it.
Right.
But one of the things is the work ethics has really been destroyed.
Mm.
So you have a job, you can have it forever. Mm. You don't have to produce anything. You can't be fired. You have a job. But we've been able to change that culture at the Lita Products, because the harder they work, they can earn more. So there's the incentives of being able to work and just enjoy their work and make sure that the environment. Also, we hold them to a higher standard of working relationships and, you know, how we relate with one another, respect for one another, respect for our job, respect for our partners. So that encourages when you respect it. That really brings the best out of you, I think.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So 5 years from now, and what's exciting is you brought Imnet here with you, who's really your operations person, who's running everything. And I know you're thinking, how do I multiply myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you imagine in 5 years, the impact, and what is Elita Products look like, and what does our partnership look like with Noonday?
I was just in a meeting about the next 3-4 years, about our partnership. I would love to see Noonday flourish, and that also would mean for Elita Products to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
But we also realize that it's the world out there is real, and we have to be very realistic and it's very important for us that we have a healthy relationship between Noonday and between Elita Products. It's not just the business. You produce, I'll buy from you.
Mm-hmm.
It's more a mutual encouragement and support with one another through the ups and downs. And that's what keeps us going.
Right.
So that's what I would love to see in 5 years. I don't know. I don't dare dream. it might come true.
It will.
Yeah.
It will.
It does.
We've got some serious determined women sitting right here. Yeah. So, Shalia, what about you?
The impact that Noonday has created in Uganda is massive. Huge. If you talk about numbers, we started with Jalia and Daniel. We're now talking 400 women being impacted by Noonday with their families, not only women, and some guys too. so that if you talk about the numbers over the years, 7 years, 6 years, 7 years, the numbers have not just tripled or what is massive. The impact now we see in the support, like for me, from being just a regular artist to being a designer to being an entrepreneur, and I have been transformed. And all this is the impact that Nunde has done in my family, in my life, my extended family. People have jobs in my family. My husband and I are more stable now. We are no longer looking for day-to-day food. We are planning big. We are planning for future. Our children are, they got to stay in a house for 3 years now in the same house. So there's a stability. And if I look into the lives of women that we've worked with for all these years, and the growth, the transformation in their homes, that stability has created a lot of growth. What should I say? Financially, emotionally, the stability has really created a big impact. Now, the children, we have seen Nunde educating children for many years now in Uganda. Over 34 children have been educated. Mm-hmm. About 12 of them graduated from primary living exams, which mm-hmm. they passed with high grades. And that's it was a huge celebration at African Style. We have seen a daycare start and grow with Nunde's support. Mm-hmm. So many children are being blessed with a clean environment, with good food, with love and care that they would not have received before. So when I say that the impact that Nunde has created in Uganda is massive, I really mean that, literally that. When you walk in the streets in Lweza, there you see people wearing those blue t-shirts, women holding children, wearing daycare. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful. Okay. In the evenings, you walk in the villages, you find women rolling beads, and all this is for Nunde. Mm-hmm. Because African Style really have been working for Nunde. So African Style has now become the biggest exporter of paper beads in Uganda. Yeah. And it's all because of Nunde. What you guys have created has created a huge impact in our country. I can't thank you enough.
5 years from now, you are a dreamer. You caused me to dream.
Well, 5 years from now, we will have a public library.
Wow!
Yeah. Which we are about to launch very soon from the Impact Give Back.
Okay.
We are going to launch a public library, the first one of its kind. It's not common in our country to have public libraries. Uh-huh. So we'll have one for all the community children, free to come and touch and feel the books and have teachers read to them for free.
Wow.
So 5 years from now, I'm dreaming expansion. I'm dreaming more families being impacted. Mm-hmm. And I'm dreaming more impact on the bead rollers. Mm-hmm. Since there are many, we want to organize them in a way that we can also minister to them in other ways, not just provide jobs, but just like the ones at the workshop are getting the benefit of the Bible study, the counseling, all the benefits. I want to organize the women, the bead rollers also, to be, you know, like this, that connection, to get the relationship and the connection with them. So, yeah, Nunde is growing and so are we. So I'm excited to see more people's lives change, more families being impacted.
Awesome.
Mm. I love the way Nunde is set up and is, you know, the business is run. It's really like a business. It's not, yes, we're working with very poor people, poor women, you know, disadvantaged in different ways. But what you have done is an opportunity for them to work.
Right.
And, you know, give them back their dignity.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we expect quality, on-time delivery.
High standards.
Yes. Good design.
You know, all that professionalism.
Yeah.
Is expected of them. Mm-hmm. And that brings a lot of pride.
Yeah.
You know, it's not giving aid or giving them monthly allowance or whatever. Mm. No, it's actually giving them back their lives.
The workers love it because they feel their worth. they earn, they know that they are not getting handouts because people are feeling sorry for them. Mm-hmm. They know that they have worked for this, and that professionalism and dignity is really helpful.
It is. Mm-hmm. And I think our ambassadors feel that too. You mm-hmm. know, many ambassadors, when they sort of own their worth as business owners, because some women think, oh, I don't know, I'm not really a business owner. I'm just selling things on the side or whatever. But we've seen such transformation happen when ambassadors say, I'm a businesswoman. I own this business. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm going to own it, and I'm going to treat it like a business. Mm-hmm. And that brings a lot of worth and dignity too, which mm-hmm. can only be done because of you all, because you all are doing what you're doing on the ground in Uganda and Ethiopia, and you're creating work for what we hope will be thousands and thousands of women mm-hmm. Over the next few years. So thank you so much for your time today.
One thing before we close, the ambassadors' trips.
Yes.
They have so much encouraged the artisans.
Good.
Because we have talked up, when we talk about ambassadors, they don't get the connection. But since the visit in Uganda, there has been so much bonding. And I can see that the workers are really excited about Noonday and about their whole, you know, like, they also feel the global...
Global connection.
Yes, the global connection.
So. Well, Joe and I are excited to come this summer with a group of ambassadors in July with Jack and Amelie and Holden.
Ooh, so excited to have you.
And then we got to put one on the books for Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jalyuk is going to have to start sharing. We're going to have to start trading off African countries, but certainly, especially in our community, we have so many adoptive moms. Actually, one of our ambassadors, Jolene, she is in the top five for a team. She's a coach of a really thriving team. And she just got home like 3 days ago with a little boy she adopted from Ethiopia, and her fourth child from Ethiopia. Okay. So we are so connected to Ethiopia. And so we can't wait.
Yeah.
So many places to go and people to see. And
Beautiful.
Thank you so much. Let's persevere. Keep persevering. That was such an incredible conversation. We talk a lot at Noonday how we have a stakeholder model as opposed to a shareholder model. And what we mean by that is that we're not just out to benefit a select group of people. We're out to benefit all of the different stakeholders throughout every aspect of the business. That's you, our ambassadors. That's our artisan partners. It's our home office team. It's our bank that gives us a line of credit, and it's our hostesses. And after listening to Cherry and Jalyuk talk about their own journeys as businesswomen, that's really stood out to me. They shared some really beautiful stories of the artisan women whose lives are being transformed through the simple gift of a dignified job. They found financial stability, but they've also found their worth along the way. I love what Cherry shared about the fact that Noonday holds the women's work to such a high standard, has actually given them so much pride in their work. They know they aren't getting paid out of sympathy. They're getting paid because their work is beautiful, and women in America love to wear it. And that alone brings this whole level of dignity to their jobs. These women are at the very heart of what we all do. But Cherry and Jalyuk also shared about how embracing their own roles as female entrepreneurs has helped them own their worth. I love the example Jalyuk gave about how she used to worry that she was too much, but that as she has continued on this journey, she's come to realize that she is not too much. She is just right. And that confidence has empowered her to help dozens of other women find their confidence too. So how does that apply to you today? I want to encourage you today to own your worth as a woman and as an entrepreneur. You own a real bona fide business. This isn't a hobby. It's a business. This isn't charity work. This is creating opportunity for the very artisans that you heard from. You get to be a social entrepreneur. And just like Cherry and Jalyuk and our other partners across the globe, you are a trailblazer in your community. I really want you guys to think about that this week. So what did you learn from today's episode? I would love to hear from you guys.
I was just looking at the You Matter hashtag on our Facebook page, and it looks like a lot of you are having to pull over or stop your runs when you're listening to You Matter because the tears are flowing. And that's what we want. We want You Matter to be a place where you get inspired, where you learn, and where you grow, and you're able to take that back to your community. So let's start that conversation on our Facebook page. Hashtag You Matter. Tell me some of the things that you learned from today's episode. We'll see you next time.